I bet. I'm in the red all the time.
Oh, I know. No. You can sit across the room and I can still hear you. You're a champion. I'm just going to sit closer.
Okay. I'm going to scoot back.
So our listeners are going to have to bear with us because normally we've got this nice 3-mic setup at my house, but we're on tour right now. And by on tour, I mean at my mom's house recording remotely. So we've got a single stand mic that we are all sharing, and we've got Tammy as close as possible. So y'all just bear with us.
Hello.
Let's get down to business. So, I was starting... Stop it.
I'm sorry. I just had Mulan.
You know...
I had...
You had Mulan.
Mulan in my head. You said, let's get down to business. You know, I've never
I've never seen that movie.
What?
I'm sorry.
Go on.
We just go back to Moana over and over again.
I haven't seen Moana.
It's excellent.
I haven't either.
Oh, stop. Let's just stop recording and watch Moana, because it's that good.
My therapist told me to watch Moana one time.
It's very empowering.
She's like, it's very empowering.
It is. Yeah. And the music's like, great. Because okay. The main song, the one that you've probably heard before and will be stuck in your head after, was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda prior to Hamilton. Yeah, he's it. So maybe super...
that gasp was.
So should we talk superstition? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have time.
I think so.
Yeah.
Disney's a good alternative.
It's also true. Okay, so when I started the research, I was starting to get a little panicky.
Oh, no.
Because, so we're doing New Mexico. This episode is New Mexico, which we've all been very excited about. But unfortunately... But as soon as I started the research, the very first 3 things were ones that we've all covered fairly recently, because we've now gone alphabetically through the alphabet of the United States.
Yes.
That, like, we've talked about La Llorona. I'm trying not to screw that up like I did the last time. We've talked about skinwalkers. We've talked about Bigfoot. So I'm like, what am I going to do?
I thought La Llorona would be one of the biggest ones there.
Well, it was, and it was a great one, but it was so similar to the last time we talked about something. I'm like, I just don't think that would be that enjoyable. And then in my last episode, we covered aliens, and so for New Mexico, there's Roswell, right? So like, crap, what am I going to do? But luckily, I did some additional digging. I went down the dark rabbit trail. So sit back and enjoy the stories of New Mexico, or as our friend Terrence calls it, the land of magic.
Mm-hmm. The land of magic.
He has called
the
land of enchantment is the
land
actual,
of enchantment. Yeah. Sorry. I enjoy nothing more than incorrectly paraphrasing. Tammy, you did well with that. Okay. So let's talk about birds.
Oh, okay. That's not where I thought we were going, but I'm ready.
So if I say big birds, what do you think of?
Big bird.
Giant yellow bird. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm. So I even have that in my notes. Maybe the friendly yellow guy from Sesame Street. Or, you know, if you want to get scarier, maybe you are a Hitchcock fan and you've thought about movie, The Birds.
We don't want to think about that at all.
Okay, so New Mexico is a mysterious land. It's filled with spiritual people and lots of superstition. But sometimes fact is even stranger than fiction.
Oh, I'm ready.
I love New Mexico.
I need you to... I never thought I'd say this, but I need you to take a scoot back.
Oh, fine.
You are popping.
I'll just be back here.
So, giant birds called teratorns, or wonder birds, once flew over New Mexico. Yeah. Skeletal remains show that this relative of the vulture had a wingspan of more than 20 feet and weighed over 120 pounds.
Nope.
This is large enough to snatch a small child.
Nope.
This is real, by the way.
That's insane.
I don't know about these guys.
To some, Tammy will be pleased by this, to some, these are better known as thunderbirds.
Oh, I do know about these.
I know she said that a minute ago. I'm like, I'm just going to glance right now. Gloss over the top of that. These were giant birds that were said to soar the stormy skies in distant times. The first people have many stories about birds, such birds of varying kinds. So throughout history and throughout many cultures, there have been stories and legends of these giant birds. American Indian lore is filled with stories of birds with enormous wingspans. Some were even said to carry away buffalo and human victims.
No.
Rude. A little rude. The name thunderbirds actually comes from flapping their wings, which made a sound like rolling thunder. And these birds have been described as having a wingspan of 20 to 40 feet or more. And most likely some of these stories are referring to the pterodactyls of prehistoric times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just in case that was confusing, because I kind of jumped around a little bit. What we know to be true are the Territorns. Now, these Thunderbirds are from lore. Mm-hmm. They're said to be a little bit larger, but Territorns were factually real based on skeletal remains, just so that we know.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you clarified that.
We think probably the Territorns were maybe called Thunderbirds, and the stories expanded mm-hmm. their size, just to keep us on the same page.
Tracking.
But there were other giants. There were other ancient giants found in North America. Fossils of skeletal remains of the giant Territorn have been discovered in many places throughout the desert southwest, including Nevada, Arizona, the Anza-Borrego Desert in California, and even Oregon as far east as Florida. With a wingspan somewhere between 14 to 16 feet, this was an enormous flying bird, even compared to the still-living California condor, who has a wingspan of 9 feet.
That's too much bird.
This is a large bird.
That is a large bird.
I wonder if that's what Big Bird is based on. Probably not. His wingspan's a little small, if you think about it.
I've seen Big Bird's wingspan.
Well, he doesn't fly. He's like a chicken. We're getting off track. There are fossilized giant birds in Latin America as well, some with wingspans of 24 feet or more.
Yikes.
I know, these are big birds. One of the legends in Texas is of giant birds sweeping up north from the South and Central Americas on high storms, carrying them for days. They would hunt the prairies, swooping down from high above. The cloud dragons of Texas, if they ever existed, were maybe the 50-foot wingspanned pterosaurs or a similar ancient bird. So we're kind of, I know we're hopping around a whole lot, talking some about like some dinosaurs, some mm-hmm. about legends. But we do know factually that Territorns were real. So you don't really hear about Territorns.
I have never heard.
You've never heard that term?
No.
I don't think I've heard that name. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I've heard of Thunderbird, but I didn't know that that was maybe one and the same. Or...
Yeah. So I actually had not either. I'd heard the term Thunderbird. Actually, I heard Thunderbird through what was in, not Harry Potter, but the one that had the... Ilvermorny.
Yeah, that's one of the houses.
One of the houses was Thunderbird. Actually. Yeah, so I'm like, what's a Thunderbird?
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's my house in Ilvermorny.
It might be mine, too, to be totally. Mm-hmm. Probably, Tammy. Okay, so these birds, the Territorns, which were the ancestors of vultures, lived on this planet millions of years ago and have long been extinct.
Okay.
Okay.
Or have they?
Oh.
Oh, my.
So you've been here for the history lesson. Let's talk urban legends. So eyewitnesses claim to have seen massive birds which resemble Territorns within the last decade in the Las Cruces area.
Okay.
There have been similar reports also in parts of Texas. So to make matters more unnerving, such sightings are not new. Sightings of Territorn-like creatures were reported in Lordsburg, New Mexico, which is along the Arizona border, during the 1800s.
Okay.
A little more recent, on July 19th, 2007, so exactly 1 year before my wedding for all of you who really care, Las Cruces resident Dave Zander, who had lived near the Dona Ana Mountains, and my apologies if I said that incorrectly, for more than 30 years, reported something that has haunted him ever since. This is 2007. Two enormous bird-like creatures with wingspans of at least 20 feet wide were gliding along the Oregon Mountains. There's nothing like them on modern record, though sightings throughout New Mexico have been reported since the late 1800s, as we previously mentioned, specifically in the Lordsburg region. Cryptozoologist and author Ken Gerhard said he believes that the creatures cited by Dave were the surviving prehistoric raptor-like creatures known as Territorns.
I want to see one.
New Mexico is wild.
2007, y'all. Just not that long ago. These flying monsters are believed to have occupied this area as recently as 6,000 years ago. Well-preserved remains have been discovered in caves and isolated ravines, leading credence to the belief, though many scientists are skeptical, that the creatures may still exist. So that's it on Territorns. I've got a couple short stories.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, I mean, not a great hook when you have to explain it, but it's like, so we know that these were factually real at some point in prehistoric history. We know these legends of other similar creatures. And we know in 2007, someone saw two of these that they think could realistically, potentially, be a handful of them still hanging out. Because we know, like, there are so many undiscovered mysteries in this world. There are so many animals that potentially we think are extinct, and maybe there's just not that many of them. The ocean is full of all kinds of creepy things we don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I don't need to know what's in the ocean.
No. I don't need to know what's in a cave, to be honest.
Right.
I think it sort of makes sense, too, that, like, a mountain region is probably not, it's not habitated like, you know, your plains regions are. So it's completely possible as far as I'm concerned.
Plenty of hiding spaces in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%.
I want to see one so bad.
Okay, well, I'll get you one for your birthday.
You better. Mm-hmm. I will remember. You have a year.
Yeah. Tammy, make a shirt with that.
Okay. Not sure exactly what's going on that shirt.
But. I don't know either, but I'll give you creative freedom there. Okay, so we're moving on to urban legend number two. New Mexico, as we know, is full of haunted and mysterious locations, like we just talked about, particularly around Cimarron. Did I say that correctly? I think I did.
Let me see it.
Okay, I'm going to say Cimarron, and Tammy's going to correct me if I'm wrong. So, particularly around Cimarron in northeast New Mexico. Cimarron is known for its connection to the Wild West, not to mention ghosts, my favorite. They hang out and tease guests at the St. James Hotel, where at least 20 people met a violent Old West End.
Hmm.
While the St. James has a sinister past, it's the picturesque Uraca Mesa at Philmont Scout Ranch just outside Cimarron that wins the award for creepy. Did I get it wrong?
No, Amanda has 500 tabs open and won't let me open one more, and I don't know where my phone is.
It's okay. Our six listeners will forgive my mispronunciation.
Yeah. Now I just want to know. Okay.
Okay, so don't let this mesa's beauty fool you. Despite the scenic vistas, Uraca's history is deeper, darker, and much more sinister.
Okay.
You expect the Boy Scouts to tell scary campfire stories, but Uraca Mesa, which is located on the ranch, has been a spooky place long before any Boy Scouts ever showed up. Native American tribes thought this place was an entrance to the demon world.
Mm.
And from an aerial perspective, the mesa actually sort of looks like a human skull.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Philmont Scout Ranch, let me say that again. Philmont Scout Ranch covers 214 square miles of rugged New Mexico wilderness, so that's a big ranch.
Yeah.
According to the official Philmont website, more than 1 million scouts and adventurers have been through the camp since its creation in 1939. From stories of lost scouts to tales of eerie blue lights, many of the campers have heard dark tales about the mesa. Uraca's history extends back to the time of the Anasazi. Before becoming a scout ranch, Philmont was a stop along the Santa Fe Trail. It was also a prospecting camp after the Civil War. Then after that, it was a working cattle ranch. Several Native American tribes lived in the area as well. However, long before the Apache, the Ute, and Europeans came to the area, the ancestral Puebloans called the region home until all of a sudden, they disappeared.
Hmm.
More on that in a minute.
Okay.
Sure. I've got my broadcast training coming
in. Yes, I love it.
So there are a bunch of creepy things about Uraca Mesa. For one thing, the word Uraca actually means magpie in Spanish. So magpies, as we know, are part of the cunning crow family, and they are traditionally associated with deception. Plus, in some cultures, they are seen as the messengers of death. Now, I think Tammy did the magpie episode. Or did you do crows?
She did crows.
I did crows, but we talked about magpies.
We talked about magpies.
And ravens.
Yeah,
and they're all closely related.
And I feel like some of the urban legends are kind of interchangeable with those two. Another interesting fact about Uraca Mesa is compasses don't always work there. So they say the best ghost stories have an element of truth, and since Uraca has large deposits of naturally magnetic lodestone, it makes sense that a scout unable to rely on his compass could potentially get lost.
Hmm.
The lodestone also attracts lightning. As such, Uraca has more lightning storms than anywhere else in New Mexico. When the modern era tribes moved to the area, they sensed evil spirits. These spirits were tracked back to Uraca Mesa. They say a medicine man studied the petroglyphs in the area and determined that the ancient ones, the Puebloans that we mentioned before, had fought a great battle with evil on the mesa. To keep the dark forces at bay, the entire tribe entered a portal to the underworld. Once inside, a great shaman sealed the portal behind them, and that's why they all disappeared.
Yikes.
So that's the legend. Wow. I mentioned that from an aerial photograph, Uraca Mesa actually kind of looks like a skull.
You did mention that, yeah.
Great standing
in fact,
out.
In fact, you did.
I've been thinking about it since.
Ever since the early days, people thought that the north part of the mesa looked like a skull. An eye in the skull, which is to the west, is said to be the door to the underworld that the shaman sealed.
Okay.
New Mexico is a wild, fascinating place.
So y'all ready to go?
Yes. I'm always ready to go to Albuquerque, so...
To Uraca Mesa? You want to go to the door of the underworld?
Eh, whatever.
Plus, it's a Boy Scout camp, so I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
Another interesting and unusual fact is that cat totems guard the site.
Cat totems?
Cat totems.
Cats are the best.
So totems are, do you know what a totem is before I, you know, over-explain it? Okay.
Yeah, but maybe some listeners don't, so you could go ahead.
I'm going to kind of make it up because I don't have the definition. But they're basically, oh, say like, you know what a totem pole is,
yes,
right? So it's,
right.
It's a symbolic statue, right. Yes. Essentially, and it's got different meanings in different cultures and tribes, things like that. So here at the Uraca Mesa, there are totems of cats, and they're said to guard the site.
Okay.
The shaman placed the cat totems around the mesa. The cats are said to scare away the magpies who could open the portal.
Sure. Oh.
Legend says that if all the totems are destroyed, the portal will open and evil will be unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
At last count, only two totems remained.
No, no, no.
What's happened to the other ones?
It doesn't say.
Aww.
Now, I'm gonna sidebar a little bit, and this is specifically for Talia listening, but anyone else who might get this reference, this is for you too. So I know that you don't listen to the Black Tapes podcast.
No.
Have you heard me mention it before?
I don't think so.
It's good.
Probably.
It's an audio fiction. It's been off the air for a little while, but it's all kind of creepy stuff. But
oh, yeah, you did tell me about
that. It's one of my favorites. It's just really well done. But there was a series of an episode or two where the main characters, who are called Alex and Dr. Strand, they went on an adventure to a natural reserve as like part of something they were trying to solve. And in this natural reserve, there was an evil portal that had totems standing guard that was slowly being destroyed. So I can't help but think the writer maybe had heard this because
heard
it was just
story.
Basically identical.
Very similar, yeah.
Yikes.
Okay, so scouts have also been known to see weird things on the mesa. In one account, a scout hiking the mesa at night found himself near the eye. He heard an unusual noise.
Nope.
Tammy's like, not me. When he turned, he saw a dark-skinned, hairless figure watching him. When the scout saw the dark figure watching him, he booked it down the mesa. It actually says booked it. I'm like, I hope I lifted that from my research and I didn't just like creatively insert that word.
It was definitely you. You did it.
It kind of sounds like me. About halfway down, he stopped to catch his breath and he looked back up the trail and saw a different figure awash in a glowing blue light.
Native it's going to start running too fast soon.
Well, that was the good one, though, because native people from the area say that the shaman stands watch on the mesa, making sure that the portal stays sealed tight.
Okay,
so they think that the figure awash in the light was actually kind of guarding the portal and keeping everybody safe.
That's fine, then.
So, Amanda, you up for a hike?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about you when I was doing this because I was like, Amanda likes outdoorsy things.
I do. You know, I'm going to have to ask one of Tim's uncles. Does a lot with the Boy Scouts, and I know that he's mentioned Philmont before.
Really?
So I gotta ask him about it now.
Yes, I need you to report back on that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So even if you wanted to go for a hike, Amanda, unfortunately, Uraca Mesa is privately owned by the Philmont Scout Ranch, so unless you're a scout or a guest, you're out of luck. That may not be a bad thing.
I'll happily maybe pass on that one. Mm-hmm.
Or you could maybe be a guest if they've been there. If his uncle has been there, you could be a guest and you could report back to us.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle
crickets.
That.
I'm just offering that.
I'd knock over one of the cats.
I'll be in Albuquerque eating Blake's.
I would not be impressed with you if you knocked over a cat totem. So to our six listeners, if any of you out there are Philmont alumni, we would really love to hear from you, especially if you've been to this ranch, if you experienced anything strange in the mesa, we would really like to hear about it. And you can send us a message at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com. I check that email approximately once every 6 weeks.
I will be around this.
Wow. Sometimes I forget about it and then I see it in my, I've got like multiple emails set up on my phone. I'm like, that's a lot of unread email.
No.
All the time we have listener stories and everything coming in.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
That would be awful.
Would be. Okay, so at the top of this story about the Uraca Mesa, I mentioned the St. James Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, you know, I love a good haunted location, and obviously I'm going to tell you that story, too. So the St. James Hotel and Restaurant, which is located in Cameron, was built in 1872. As part of the Old West, it attracted many well-known names in history. Past guests included the likes of Jesse James, Billy the Kid, Blackjack Ketchum, and the Earp Brothers.
Okay.
A little piece of our country's history there. So, at least 26 people have died in this hotel.
Oh, good.
Most of them violently.
Oh, good.
In fact, there are still more than 20 bullet holes in the ceiling.
Okay.
Bye.
So, kind of like the Minger Hotel. If you ever go to the Minger, you can see the bullet holes. It's like that. Which naturally makes me want to go.
Where is the... That's in San Antonio.
It's in San Antonio.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's
like, we were there
It's
not
like
that long
right
ago.
Next to the Alamo.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. That's where I told you I saw the ghost of Teddy Roosevelt, mm-hmm. which no one mm-hmm. else believes, but I did.
I believe you.
I think I did anyway. Okay. So anyway, this hotel is so haunted that you are not even allowed to stay in one of the rooms because it is permanently occupied by the ghost of a man named Thomas James Wright.
Okay.
According to legend...
I don't like that.
Well, you can't stay there, so you're safe.
Okay.
According to legend, Wright was shot in the back after winning the deed to the hotel in a bet.
Wow.
I know, Violet.
Oops.
He dragged himself into his room, and he died there. So his spirit is decidedly hostile, and bad things are believed to happen whenever anyone enters room 18. And for you ghost hunters out there, don't even think about trying to sneak in because they keep the door shut and padlocked.
Goodness. I'd be salty, too, though. Just in a hotel?
Yeah, they're not playing around with room 18. But luckily, not all the ghosts at the St. James are so volatile.
Oh, that's nice.
A Frenchman named Henri Lambert built the hotel. Lambert had served as President Lincoln's chef in Washington, D.C. until the president's assassination.
Oh.
I know. After the tragedy, Lambert headed west, accompanied by his wife, Mary. They settled in Cameron, and Lambert's saloon and billiard hall was born. In 1880, Lambert added on to his establishment, forming the St. James Hotel.
Oh, okay.
The spirit of Mary Lambert is believed to linger in room 17, not to be confused with room 18. and it's actually called the Mary Lambert Room. This is one of the rooms that you are allowed to stay in.
Oh, that's cool.
Guests and staff report smelling a strong rose perfume here, even when there's no one around.
Okay.
I would stay there.
So would I. The hotel has additional rooms in a more modern annex, but it's more fun to stay on the historic side.
Oh, yeah.
The rooms are all named after previous guests like Billy the Kid.
But it's 1111. I just happened to look up right then.
Oh, boom. Good job.
Nice.
Yeah, so the rooms are all named after previous guests, but that doesn't mean that guest stayed in that room, just as a little bit of a disclaimer.
I gotcha. Okay.
So if it's the Billy the Kid room, he may or may not have stayed in that particular room.
Terrence is related to him.
Explains so much. It doesn't really. I don't know why I said that. I'm trying to say something relevant there. The historical decor and dark wood paneling makes it easy to imagine what this place may have been like back in its heyday. After all, your average hotel does not decorate with images of guests who have met their maker on the site. Yes, that is correct. The hotel has photographs of the guests who have met their demise on the property, which they use as decor. I would assume they're not the death photographs. They're probably just, like, photographs. But
okay.
I mean,
that makes sense.
My, like, little macabre heart kind of loves this because I think every day should be Halloween. But, you know, I can see that maybe that would frighten a little more someone who walks the path of light a little bit more than I do.
Amanda in her sunshine yellow shirt.
100% accurate. The 1870s were a very violent decade in Cameron. An ongoing dispute about the Maxwell land grant led to corruption, angry mobs, and murder. So the violence in the hotel was actually not all that uncommon for the time. The St. James is so unique in the fact that it is still standing and operating in its original location. Another example of one of the resident ghosts is Francisco Pancho Grigo. Grigo was upset that his relative, an allegedly crooked constable, was killed in an angry mob like we just described. Grigo entered the St. James Saloon and picked a fight with a local known as Clay Allison, accusing him of being involved with the crime. Grigo fanned his hat as a way to distract his quarry while he pulled his weapon. Allison was no fool and fired first, which killed Grigo. Mm-hmm. Over the years, staff and guests alike have reported strange happenings at the St. James, including lights that turn on by themselves, mysterious tapping on the windows, etc. The hotel has also been featured in several paranormal-themed television shows. Frankly, I'm surprised I haven't seen one of them.
Right.
As I do flock to those sort of programs. If the idea of staying overnight at a haunted hotel in New Mexico is a little bit much for you, you can always stop by the hotel during the daylight hours and dine in the restaurant.
I would absolutely do that.
100%. You do need to be sure to pause at the old mirrored bar.
No.
You don't even know why I'm about to say that.
She doesn't like mirrors.
I don't like mirrors.
Who doesn't like mirrors?
Mirrors and bars. Like, I watched The Shining. That's
the weirdest thing
I've ever heard. Mirrors are creepy.
Mirrors are excellent. They make a room look bigger. And also, how are you supposed to check your eyeliner? May I go back to the story?
No, I'm not ready.
You need to pause at the old mirrored bar. Some guests claim to see a cowboy looking back at them.
No, see? No.
That's exactly why mirrors are crazy.
No. Unacceptable. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I am.
This is what you get for sending that doll picture to mom the other day.
Just to close this out, the St. James has a web page that you can visit for more information on the paranormal experiences. And if you do plan to visit and you want to request a particular stay or a particular room for your stay, you need to call the hotel directly. Okay. One final fun fact.
Is it fun?
It's fun. I think it's fun. If you're a guest, actually, even if you're just stopping through, Ouija boards are banned at this establishment.
I imagine
as they should be.
I feel like it's a wise choice.
Yes, correct.
Should just be banned in general, probably.
Maybe. For any of our listeners hoping to visit the St. James, the actual address is 617 South Collision Avenue, Cimarron, New Mexico, 87714, United States of America. And that, my friends, is New Mexico.
That was fun. Yeah, I liked that one.
I am mad because I just now occurred to me that we could have had Terrence as a guest on this episode because it would have been funny to listen to his reactions to these things and get his input.
I feel like he would have criticized my pronunciation multiple times. He would have told me things were wrong even though they're backed up by research.
Oh, well. Yeah, you got to get a local's perspective, though.
You do. So I'll be sure to get you two's perspective, y'all's perspective, when I do the Texas episode.
Yes, please. Yeah. I have input for that one.
All right, Liz.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder, a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.